back into the bridal glories of the life of our precious brother Joseph. And I think of these ones in many different ways. The Lord graces our heart. You know, it's wonderful to have a sibling in Christ like Joseph. You know, to have a big brother like that. I got a wonderful big brother back there. And, you know, there's some sweet things that are types and shadows. But those ones that truly give us encouragement in the Word of God. And I think about many of these Old Testament worthies of faith. Think of the testimonies that the Lord brought through them. Now, all for their good, we understand that. But think of the eternal double portion benefit that we get in a magnified way because of the revelation of Paul's gospel. That, you know, these things that they went through, you understand, that's the Word of God, which was written for who? For us. And it was for our benefit. And not just stories, but types and shadows, hidden meanings, the things that God would reveal to us, who would want to know. And I thank God for this. And it's exciting as we get in tonight to chapter 40. But now in chapter 40, we find that Joseph, he's in the heart not just of Egypt. Remember, he was in Potiphar's house. He thought he was doing good, but as we left off with him, he wound up in a prison. And matter of fact, in an Egyptian prison. But we were encouraged when God set him there. See, God will never set you in a place without encouragement. If you'll listen to him. Hear him. See, a lot of times we get set in a place we don't want to be in or something that looks ill, but we're not listening to him. When you listen to the Lord by the grace of God, when you hear his word, you'll understand there's a benefit in it, a great benefit in it. He's working patience. He's working faith. I tell you, good soldiers, we're called to endure hardness, aren't we? Praise God. So we know this calling. It's not a mystery to us. Let's just be honest. And by the grace of God, that I'm thankful. We've got a little platoon here. And I thank God that, you know, in that foxhole, that we can lift up one another's arms and we can encourage each other on the way. But I'll tell you what, it's got to be the Word of God. It has to be the Word of God, or it's not going to benefit you anything. But here he was put in that prison. But it just look there in chapter 39 for just a minute, in verse 21. What an encouragement we should take every day. So he was wrongly accused, basically accused of rape. And he did his best to not have any of it go along that way. He ran from that woman, but she was going to nail him. It was just going to be that way. And remember this, that was not at her hand, that was at the hand of God. She couldn't give him anything that God didn't allow. You understand that? Just like your life, you have, and I have to, by the grace of God, believe this, or I'm going to be in a world of hurt, in despair and wondering, as opposed to knowing the plan of God. So here in verse 21, as he's put into that prison, but the Lord was with Joseph, showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Now think of this too. He showed him mercy. Now you would think, why would the Lord need to show him mercy when he was done wrong? And a lot of people will think that way. Because he needed to be shown mercy for a lot of different things. But I'll tell you one thing he needed to show mercy is get over yourself. Better get out of your pity. I'm being merciful to you, son, because I'm going to have you to rule and reign. Do you understand? I mean, those are the things that we have to really understand with the Lord. Oftentimes we can have something happen to us and we still don't understand that we still need mercy. We need mercy because we're rebellious. We need mercy because we soon forget. We need mercy because we'll withdraw without mercy. Mercy is what's going to take us on. The mercy at the blood of that mercy seat. Praise God. That's where the cherubim look. And they look to it continually. And I thank God that the Lord was with Joseph. And he showed him mercy. He turned his face to see it. He turned his heart to the word of God. Honey, I've got you. And then it says, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand, all the prisoners that were in the prison. And we get into that word all, and it's exciting, isn't it? See, Joseph, whenever he goes into something, it's not part, it's not some, it's all. See, God's showing him, honey, you're going to rule and reign in everything if you'll take it. But see, the ones that will rule and reign jointly with him, they rule in everything right now. You have to understand that by the grace of God. It doesn't mean you're going to be the boss of your corporation. But I'm talking about in heart. This is what this is encouraging us. It doesn't matter where the Lord takes us. He's taken us there for a specific place that he's going to take us. Hallelujah. And he wants us to be there in that fellowship with him. And it said, it was put all Joseph's hand, all the prisoners were put there. They were in that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with Joseph, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Praise be to God. And you wouldn't think that about a guy who was accused falsely and thrown into a prison. Man, that's the last guy most people would ever want to be with. You're bad luck. But God said, oh no, honey, you're prospering now. I'm going to increase the more, you're going to decrease, and you're going to see what was going to happen. So God shows him mercy. God's bringing him down once again. Think of this in Joseph's life. And as the Apostle Paul said, we must need to know how to be abased and abound, right? To hunger, to be full, all of those things. But in every state, therewith to be content. And I thank the Lord as he calls us and he encourages us in this way. But God brings us to a place of lowliness. He's bringing Joseph down once again, but it's only to raise him up higher. If you don't go through these things, if you don't suffer with the Lord, you're never going to reign with him. The Lord is faithful to bring these things. The ones that will understand this and that are in love, they'll thank him for that suffering. And I pray that God continue to work in us. So he places him in a great hardship, and he shows Joseph that he can reign there too. Joseph doesn't have to get his way to reign. Do you have to get your way to reign? Do you have to have your way to be praising the Lord? Come on now. And I thank God. I believe, again, we're growing up, but think of these things. Brothers and sisters, in Christ and dwelling in his promises, and I'm talking about the promises of the dreams and the visions that he gives us in the Word of God. And notice that, the dreams and the visions in the Word of God, not dreams and visions in your head. And I think sometimes we get looking to signs and literal dreams that we have at night, trying to figure out what they mean. I would rather understand the Word of God. Amen. You think? By the grace of God, then I'm not guessing. And I thank the Lord. And if he wants me to know a matter, you know what? He'll reveal it to me. He'll show me about these things. But there's many things I go through and many things that happen to me in an experience. I have to tell you, I can't figure it out. But I know one thing, he's working all things together for my good. Amen? So, you know what? As long as Jesus knows, I'm good about it. Praise the Lord. And does he know? Amen, he does. So again, so many times we're trying to analyze and figure. Just get the mind of Christ. And you know what the mind of Christ says? It's the Father's will. Amen. And thy will be done by the grace of God. See, and that's against our natural being, isn't it? We're always got to have understanding. We always have to have meaning. We always have to have, there's lots of words we use, closure, all of these things that we have. These are great human words. I believe there's a beautiful saying that is the saying of all sayings. It is finished. By the grace of God, I'm telling you, if that will be your closure, it's all the closure you'll ever need. It's finished. He's done it. He's performed it. He's perfected it. And if we're still dragging along in these things, trying to figure out things for our lives, brothers and sisters, those are the things which are behind. And they'll always defeat you when you're looking back. They'll always defeat you when you're looking at something and trying to figure it out. Just look to the Word of God. Know that he's got it. Let rest in him. He's the rock that's higher than I. Praise be to God. He's set before me, behind me. And I'll tell you what, his hand is upon me. So he gives us these things in the Word of God. And when Paul's gospel is in our hearts, brothers and sisters, we rule and reign and overcome wherever he leads. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're thankful to God for this. Did he not show us when he told them to go to battle and they trusted in the Lord? You know what? The battle was the Lord's. It was already won. They were just going in there to clean up, get the spoil, all that death. they were getting the reward and gleaning all of that treasure out of all those dead bodies. Huh? Come on. We should thank him the more, don't you think? See, in dungeons, he reveals more and more of his love and his power. When we're in that fiery place, when we're in the lion's den, there's intimacy at his hand because you have nowhere else to look. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you something. You even get real still, you'll feel his breath on you. He'll just breathe on you. And it is. It's an amazing thing. You just don't realize how near he is, how present the help is in our time of need. And I thank God that he directs it all. And brothers and sisters, it's one step after another of before ordained good works that we should walk therein. Amen. Come on, are we not a people of faith? And that's where we trust God and believe him for our life. And this path, praise his name, I would not change a thing. So now, as we approach this, Joseph is the overseer in the prison. And in this portion of scripture, what happens here quickly on is that there are two of Pharaoh's servants that are thrown into the prison. A butler and a baker. So let's go ahead and read verses 1 and 2. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And Joseph is given the duty to oversee them, to meet their needs and all of these different things. Now, this is such a beautiful type of Christ right here as we begin. You think about these two that came in. And as you know this story, and I'm sure everyone here does, this is a very wonderful representation of Jesus Christ there on the cross. And there he had the two thieves right next to him on each side. Amen. And we know that one of the thieves turns to him and says, "Remember me." And we know that the other one doesn't. Well, in this story, we have a similar thing happened to the butler. We know that God has spared his life. The dream that he gives to Joseph to interpret, the butler is spared. But unto the baker, the dream that the baker gives to him, he is hanged. So we have one that life is saved and one life that is lost. But, so he would say, well, then what is for us in the bride here? Well, I'll tell you what, bridal attitude is all over this chapter. We could spend the rest of eternity speaking about bridal attitude in the 40th chapter, but we only have a few minutes, so we'll just hit a few things. But first, the question that I asked tonight, myself, and that the Lord asks us, do we have Joseph's full overcomer attitude when we are placed in situations that are so disappointing and unfair? Think about that. And you know, if you haven't responded well to that, let's now be the time. Let's pray about that. Let's ask the Lord. And every situation is going to be a little different. But are we as Joseph when we're put into these things? Are we ready to give every man an answer for the hope that lies within us? Think of that. You know, is there still a hope that's even in you when you've had things really turn against you? Or is it really more of a pity party? Where people come around and say, "Oh, poor guy, I'm so sorry for you." And that, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But how about by the grace of God, learning to praise the Lord, give him thanks in all things, and then have people just say, "What in the world?" And then maybe the Lord would draw their heart to say, "Can you tell me why you're in such a good mood? Could you tell me why you're still happy when our boss just about took your head off for nothing? Or somebody lied about you or something of that nature?" This is that testimony of that full overcomer in Christ. And I thank God for this. I can testify truly. I thank God. I know that the Lord gave me the anointing to be your pastor the very moment that I was down there in Mexico. I know God brought that. It was changing and God did it. But I'm so thankful that as we yield to God, there is a changing from glory to glory, even into his very image. I thank the Lord that through some situations that I never imagined would happen, but through that, there were sermons I never imagined that would ever flow out of me until the Lord took me into the deepest, darkest trial of my life. And he placed me there, and I wasn't coming out. And I thank God that he did that. And I thank the Lord that he proved himself in my life. I thank the Lord that there wasn't anywhere to turn but more to God. There wasn't anything to do but to go dig deeper into the truth. And to say, Lord, there was nothing else to do but to pray more. And more continually and more fervently. And crying out to God continually. And thanks be to God, he really enjoyed that because he wouldn't pull me out of there for quite some time. Every time, I'm telling you, I felt just like this. I truly did. I think I mentioned it to you. Someday I'll go back to it. The Lord hasn't encouraged me. But I wrote little notes down. There was exactly 10 things. It was exactly, in a way, just like the plagues that he had to send to Egypt to finally let him go. But God wasn't going to let me go because we were enjoying the fellowship. And I'm telling you, the fruit that God, the quality of fruit, those grapes, man, I don't feel like them grapes had water for 2 years in a way. It was scorching sun. But God did it. And I can just tell you that I don't ever want to leave that place. You know what I'm saying? And he's faithful. He's faithful to continue to bring trial. He's faithful to continue to allow your heart to stay in that beautiful, lowly place. But this is it. It says here that Joseph served in this chapter. Joseph served these two. He ministered to them. Do we minister to others when things are not pleasing in our lives? Huh? You know, are we just singing on the mountaintop? Like that Julie Andrews when it's, you know, a great morning. You know, what happens if the lightning was smacking all around her and she was running through the field screaming? You know, it's like, I kind of get visions like that. Probably shouldn't give you those thoughts. But, you know, everybody's singing when it's sunny and shiny. But, you know, when things get bad, where are we? Do we draw into more grace and more joy when the environment is not what we hoped for? Amen? Shouldn't that be the place we do? You know what I'm saying? I pray that the Lord continue to encourage our hearts when these hurtful things come, that we see that it's the greatest of opportunity to get on in there, that it truly is the joy unspeakable. Count it all joy. Happy is the man in manifold temptation. All of these different things. I've been seeing God do things and through things that I never thought, never even imagined, actually were against my opinion of how God could do something. He's brought the most beautiful, gorgeous things out of ashes and things that, I'll tell you, the Gentile bride life, if we're really going to go, it's going to live all the way through you. And it is. And he'll show you time and time again. Praise his name. How good he is. And that's when we just sit, praise, fall right down on our face and thank him for his mercy. I mean, it's miracle after miracle every single moment of our lives when we see it. But do we draw into more grace when that environment changes from something we thought was going to work out, but it doesn't? Do we move into the place of where we sulk and where we withdraw? All right? Here's the answer. Do you see how important it is to know the Word of God? Amen. And not just here. Not just here. And it's amazing oftentimes too, and I've seen it, and we've all experienced it at times. The Lord shows us something, we can start to get critical. Well, I know this lesson. Do you? You know, and you start to talk to people and you see things happening and you might have a little bit of edge on your life or something of that nature. You know, God is faithful to bring the word into your life to understand when you're in these situations, we're called to suffer. We're called to suffer. I think it's very important to see the Word of God in you and you in the Word of God. I think it's vital. You have to have those enlightened eyes of understanding to be able to see into those mysteries, to walk through this word and allow this word to walk through you. I thank God. We're not apart from it. It's in us. We're one with it. And it's not about having a great imagination. It's about letting Christ in you, the hope of glory, live. The life that we now live, we live by the faith of the Son of God. Amen? What is faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if my life is the Word of God, this Word is going to live in my life. Amen? And it is. This is it. This is everything about what we have. So we don't count it strange. We don't think it strange about a fiery trial. We look right into the Word of God, and we know that as the elect and the chosen of God, this is the way He has called us. This is who we are. This is what we do. This is how we walk, and this is how we fight. It's just it. You know, you're mounted up for battle always. I'm not making it in a cavalier way and saying it with, you know, hey, we're wounded, we're hurt. There's a lot of things that happen, and we care for one another. I don't like to see necessarily things that happen to you all where sick and losing houses and all of these different things sometimes that happen to us. But I know God has a plan, and God's so much greater to give us more than we could ever receive. But He's thinking about eternity. See, He's thinking about the eternal things. And oftentimes, we can't get our mind off of this moment, this vapor, this grass that grows in the morning and is cut down in the evening. We've got our tent stakes down so hard and deep in this life that we miss, and missing those moments that we could be rejoicing and thanking God immediately. That's the thing I get kind of upset with. I say, oh, Lord, I let too much time go by before I started rejoicing in this thing or started to praise You about it. But there's things that hurt. And usually it's the most personal things, and you know that. It's ones that you love so much or you encourage in them. But, man, there's some whammies that come that hit you hard. But learn to praise the Lord and learn to be quick to praise. But see, Paul, you think about him, he got sweeter in the prison, didn't he? You talk about getting sweet. How about the joy book of the Bible flowing through you? Amen. Isn't that amazing? And it wasn't just because he was put in prison. The thing that hurt Paul is the desertion and the discouragement. He said all in Asia had forsaken him. But you know what was so precious? He called out to the few. You know what? I'm not going to worry about that. I'm going to think about the good and the lovely and the good report and the true. And I'm going to think about you fellas. And you know what? You get down here and let's have a little gospel fellowship in the crown glory. I'm cold. I'd like you to bring me a coat. But let's get the scriptures out and let's start talking about the word. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, most Christians, when their misery hits, they're miserable. Huh? When they are placed in sour situations, let's be sour. When things get tough and disappointing, most turn away. And sadly, I do not want to turn back at the halfway house. And that's the truth. By the grace of God, let that word work in us, Lord Jesus. The fully mature, the ones that cherish the birthright. And I would always so appreciate Brother Hill. Know your birthright. Know what you've been born into. You think about the birthright for Esau that he didn't care about. Jacob sure cared about it. He wanted it. Now think of what our birthright is, little Lord of all. Amen. Amen. But see, once again, we're going to be just like Esau if you don't grow into it and love it and cherish it as the greatest and most valuable thing of your life. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that we see this, that God is enlightened through the Holy Ghost, the enlightened eyes of understanding, given us this desire to go after it and to not let it just pass us by. See, those that are in first love, you know that you're going to endure hardness in this high calling and elect of God life. The Paul's gospel in us, and it is, it's that gospel It responds as kings. The Word of God always does. I know it's the Word of God that's in me that responds that way. It's Christ in me. It's the life that I now live. Christ lives in me. That's the Word of God. That's what's responding. You understand that? It's not Jesse, it's the Word. It's the all-powerful Word of God. That's why I can do all things through Christ, the Word who strengthens me. It is my life. All I need to do is feed on it and be quickened by the grace of God to have faith in it. But what is faith? Faith is something that's not seen. Faith is something that is going to be challenged, or it wouldn't be faith. If it's seen, it doesn't matter. But when it's unseen, unknown, and it looks completely opposite of what God has told you, that's faith. That's the beauty of faith. That's the beauty of our lives. Because let's just be honest. We all look like, no way. That's brother, no way. And that sister, no how. You know, it's just not going to work. And yet, by faith for every one of us, isn't that marvelous? By faith. That's all of that wonderful chapter 11 of Hebrews. By faith. They didn't get in there and try to say, oh, well, Lord, what do I got to do? What do I need to get right? What do I need to fix in my life? I've given it to you. Believe me. Oh, thank you, God. Now, so it's Paul's gospel in us that causes us to respond as kings. I give all credit to the gospel. Do you understand that? You give all credit to the grace of God that's with you. And that's that glorious, glorious, full grace gospel. We give all the credit to it. And that gospel knows there is great treasure for all eternity to come that will be built up in this life, see? And then, praise the Lord, we know that there's no other place that this beauty's going to come from than from the ashes of life. It's the truth. When did all of these things really transpire in all of these worthies of faith? When the rubber hit the road. When things didn't go right, when the faith was really tested. You know, think of Noah first, and you think about Noah, and there he was building that ship for all of those years, mocked in the middle of a desert. It had never rained, but God told him, you do this, you're going to see the glory of God, son. You're going to see the glory of God. Think of that faith. Abraham, think of the faith that he was called out from that idol shop. And he said, oh, I'm going to put that seed in you, honey. That seed's going to be that seed that goes on. And that seed, by the grace of God, that child of grace, it's going to be all in that seed. And it's going to come through Sarah. He waiting and, man, we're getting old here and it ain't looking good. But he didn't think that. He knew it. He could see it every day. He could see how old he was. He could see how old his wife was. But you know what? He knew God's word was new every day, and his promises were yea and amen. All right? Now you think of those things and how miraculous they are. Amen, they're miraculous. But how much more miraculous, praise God, is the calling wherewith we are called. And there's nothing hard for him. And once again, how did they receive the promise? By faith. By faith. And so here's our time. Amen? This is our time now. Praise God. This is our authoring and finishing of the Word of God in us. Just like those things that were told them. They weren't written down yet, but God had told them in the Word of God, and it was written in their heart. Just like God has told us and he's written in our heart about a bridal company that will be raptured together with him. He's written that in our hearts, hasn't he? Because we've heard him by the Spirit through the Word of God. And all we do is abide by faith and we're waiting. Praise the Lord. And we wait for the promise that is yea and amen. Praise God. We thank him for these things. Isn't it beautiful, the simplicity of believing God when we're encouraged in the word of God? So Joseph goes and he ministers and he ministers and he ministers. And I want you to know this in this story, as you know this, he ministers whether it's pleasing or whether it's not pleasing to the hearer. He's not trying to tickle anybody's ear there. He's telling the word of God. And what I want you to think about is the two dreams that came forth. You know, the butler gives him one dream, and then the baker gives him another dream. But he interprets them. And he interprets them as exactly as the Lord had given him. Amen? He didn't try to twist it, to try to fancy their ears or tell them how it was going to be. He told them the truth. And he told the one, you're going to live. And he told the other, you're going to be hung. And as we know the story, that's exactly what happened. And so these are things that we need to understand. And I pray by the grace of God that in our lives it's easy to tell people the good news, like the butler, when their thoughts and dreams are aligned with life. God help us to truly, when God calls us to tell people the truth, and it might even be death and hell. We need to tell them. And you need, when you have opportunity, when God has brought you that, it doesn't mean to get, and I know that there's been some different things, but it's been going on a long time. These ones that'll get up on a soapbox or a bullhorn and tell people all these different things. It's such a shame. I've just been meditating on these things. And the main scriptures I always think of in Galatians. Who hath bewitched you? Who hath bewitched you? Having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? And it's amazing, isn't it? But see, the enemy can get to us, and he can twist things so badly when we're not hearing the word of God. You need to know the word of God to be able to stand and withstand, and having done all, stand. And, to know those things, but let's move on then. But now think of this in this story of the 40th chapter, and what a story within the 40th chapter. So he gets thrown in the prison. These two fellas come in there. They each have a dream. God tells them to give him the dream. He interprets the dream. He interprets each one of their dreams. He tells the butler he's going to live. He tells the baker he's going to die, and. Then you think about giving the word of God, and when you're met with things that are so rejoicing, don't you think that the butler is, he was told the interpretation of the dream, he was a very happy guy, wasn't he? Matter of fact, everybody knew he was happy. He was so happy, the baker said, hey, interpret mine. Oops. It's the kind of the truth. But here it was. So even though the butler was elated at the ministering that Joseph gave to him, think about how soon he forgot, and the butler wasn't appreciative of the word of God. Uh-huh. Yeah. And do we give up? Do we turn bitter? Or do we turn to Jesus in more prayer? In lives, brothers and sisters, that we love so much, and as God gives us encouragement, understand this and really know it. We plant and water, and God gives the increase. That's all. That's it. And I will tell you, parents, even with our kids, we cannot believe for them. You can't. By the grace of God, you live for the Lord. By the grace of God, make your homes everything that would point to God. Encourage the word. Preach the word. Don't be ashamed of the word of God. By the grace of God, fight the compromise. Yes, this is the 21st century. But you know what? Jesus Christ is the same. And I've told you this many times as the enemy tried to come to me and say, oh, well, now this is how you do it and you got to do this. And I thought, well, that's just responsible sinning. And I said, responsible sinning? What does even that mean? You know, it's like, it just was nuts. And I said, we're not going to responsible sin. We're going to tell, here's the word of God. This is the word of God. He's able to. Now be responsible, but be responsible in the things of God. Pray, seek the Lord, all these things. But, oh my goodness, people, we can get so turned around so quickly. But finally, No matter how hard Joseph tries to get out of this predicament and this unfairness, and let's go ahead and read verses 14 and 15. And this is Joseph telling the butler after the butler is spared and he's going to be released. He says to the butler, "But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the hand of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon." Now, there's a lot of things here, and I really don't want to get critical, but this is my life. And the Lord's taken me through such a glorious thing in all of this. And wait a second, but I want to tell you about my pity party. I want to tell you how bad it's been and why it's unfair and why you need to help me. Now, if we were in this situation, let me tell you something, we'd be screaming this out. Help, 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 don't you forget, you know. I know that. But yet there's still layers in here to receive from this. But I think one of the sweetest things is it's over. It's over now. I'm going to get out of this. And the butler's going to help me out. See, butler, you're going to remember and you're going to help me out. God had a different time schedule, didn't he? Yep. Mm-mm. God's your help. Nobody else is your help. They're not. And no matter what we do, we cannot shortcut the making of the masterpiece. No matter how much Joseph tried to have him remember, no matter how much he got in his face and pleaded his case, verse 23 was coming, and this was God's will. And yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph? He forgot him. God's in control. God's in control. I encourage you, I encourage my own heart. Talk to him. Talk to him about it. Ask him. Plead with him. Don't try to get people around you to fashion an idea. We saw through the Old Testament time and time again, those that tried to build up the people and change their minds and all, that didn't work out well. Didn't work out well at all. Didn't go good. Remember the fellow that said, "Oh, well, you know, I don't like that prophet. He don't ever tell me anything I want to hear." Huh? You can put a lot of people around you that'll flower your ears up. "Oh, these are what I want to do. This is what I want to hear." You better want to hear the word of God. See, the Lord is faithful to keep us until he is finished, until he is finished with us and it's finished for him. And that's the bridal knowledge and bridal patience and bridal confidence. Are we as Joseph? And do we abide through hardships expecting even when the trial goes on? Do we really believe by the grace of God that joy does come in the morning? It comes. Amen. These dreams and visions you gave me, Lord, they weren't just a fantasy. They're alive. And they're mine. And I call those things which be not as though they were. Because you are faithful to perform the good work in me. I think that's so important. And I'll just testify from my own life. Sometimes I look at me and I don't like what I see. Sometimes I look at me and I wish things were different sometimes. But you know what? I look at Christ in me and I can call those things which be not as though they were. And I look at Christ in me, and that's, we look at Christ in me through this word, through Paul's gospel. And you know what? I know that he's faithful to perform the good work in me. And I know that by the grace of God, this is how wonderfully and fearfully I am made for this. Because I have to be completely dependent upon faith in his word that he's going to do it. Because I can't. Because I miss that mark. Because I am not faithful. But I'm so thankful that he has built in my life faith, divine faith, most holy, set apart faith in his faithfulness. That he will perform the good work which he has begun. Now that is an abounding hope that comes. That's an abounding hope by the Holy Ghost. Because that's love. I am confident in his love. I am absolutely assured in his love. He loves me so much. He loves me so much that he will perform the good work that he has begun in Jesse and Walter. Amen. This is so sweet because Joseph gives us that most holy, confident, set apart faith. It's written all over his heart. We can see in some of the things that were said for moments, just like us, but there is never an if with God. There's never an if. God will do it. Even when I believe not, he abides faithful. See, he's called me to this place. And that's why I don't need to get down on myself. When at times I don't believe, when I do get in a little bit of despair. Amen? Because I'm not banking and counting and reckoning. That's that counting on me. I reckon him faithful. I count him able. I count him the strength. Praise God. And he said he will do it. With God, it's just a matter of when he will do it, when he will show it forth. But I know it's already done. See, I take him at that word, that it's done. Those promises, yea and amen, is means it's finished. Are we not raised and seated together with him in the heavens? Think of that. Amen. Well, this is the hope of God. And I'll tell you, if you're still living man's hope, it's a sad thing, because man's hope is a, well, maybe. But God's hope is merely when I'm going to bring it to pass. And I can rest and believe, because I thank the Lord in due time. He said it. He'll exalt us. And he will. I'm grateful to God that we can be that assured. I'm assured in the faithfulness of God. And again, not that I have already apprehended. I understand that. Because you know why? Because as Paul said, at the finishing of that race, at the finish my course, and fighting that good fight of faith, amen, and going on in that faith, there is laid up for me that crown. Praise God. But I know by the grace of God in Christ, he hasn't given me this word. He's just not just given it. He sent it to this thing. And he'll perform it. Amen? Amen. 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 Let's stand and be dismissed. Praise God.